Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on yet another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I am so excited to introduce you to today's guest. We were talking backstage, and already the conversation was getting interesting with referrals and new ideas. So I'm like, let's bring it to the people. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that is to go out and be an evangelist for the show. Someone somewhere needs to hear this message. So while you're grabbing your pen, your pad, your notebook, your recorder, whatever it is that it takes for you to get this information, remind someone else to get theirs as well. Because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show, I'll go ahead and do what you brought me here to do, and that is introduce our first guest. I want to go ahead and introduce Mr. Daniel Kramer. Daniel Kramer is a trial lawyer who specializes in representing families and individuals involved in catastrophic personal injury and wrongful death matters, as well as employment discrimination and retaliation lawsuits. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's early. I'm stumbling today. I don't know why. I think it's Thursday. And I always tell people, you don't want to be on my Monday show or my Friday show, because Mondays I've had too much sleep. Friday I haven't had enough. So I think Thursday I'm going to have to find a new message, because I'm stumbling today, Daniel.
Yeah. Hey, I have a one-year-old that just started sleeping in our bed, and he was kicking me at 5 a.m. this morning. So I'm with you.
You look like you're up. You're excited to change the world.
When I was am. Reading,
I'm
very excited.
I was reading your bio, and one of the things that I always tell people is that what interests me is the unusual, you know, because I read a lot of bios. Everybody has degrees, everybody has certificates, everybody's so important that I'm like, okay, but what's unusual? And to me, what's unusual, and believe me, I wouldn't be where I am today, wherever that is, without Uber and Lyft. Okay. So they changed my life in a way that I was able to concentrate on building my business, building my brand, and building my company. And now they're at the forefront of all these various lawsuits. And I saw that in your bio that you're working with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've handled, unfortunately, you know, a lot of cases where an individual will be either seriously injured, either as an Uber driver or in an Uber vehicle, or hit by an Uber driver or Lyft driver. Usually in those situations, if the Uber driver's on the clock, Uber would be responsible. And so if someone is severely injured or killed, the family can sue Uber. And, you know, importantly, the Uber driver who did harm the family or the individual, they would have the financial backing of Uber, the company, to protect them so that all their assets or all their money and houses aren't taken away from a lawsuit. Unfortunately, now in California, we had a proposition that just passed, Prop 22. I know we have a international audience, but basically Uber was trying to basically say that they are not an employer of the Uber drivers, that the Uber drivers are now going to be independent contractors. It's basically a carve out in the law. So it means that every other company that has to abide by the law, Uber doesn't. And the voters voted for it directly. And I do think it's an unfortunate law, because it basically takes Uber's liability away. So for example, if someone is sexually assaulted by an Uber driver, the person who was sexually assaulted in the Uber can't go after Uber itself. If someone is injured by an Uber driver, you can't sue Uber. it basically leaves the driver out to hang. And more importantly, for my profession, it leaves the family who lost a loved one. Essentially, you can't go after Uber. There's a lot of other protections that Uber drivers will no longer have. But, you know, the law passed and we have to deal with it. And I'm involved in the California Consumer Lawyers Society, and we are trying to figure out ways to make sure people are protected. But that is what we're dealing with right now in Sacramento.
That's what we're dealing with right here in Long Beach. And like you, I see certain aspects that are positive and then certain aspects that are negative. And so I don't think this situation has been easy for anyone. I don't think this is a situation that is clear cut. One of the main reasons that I drove for Uber is because I needed the flexibility on my schedule. I needed to be able to work on my projects, but then also make a little bit of money. One of the things I always told people is that Uber driving was the best for me as far as coming up with ideas. Because if I needed a new idea for my company or a new thing I wanted to do, I would be sitting here thinking. So why not go think and drive and help other people in the process? But I would never want to do it for 40 hours.
Right. No, I understand. And there are ways, there's flexibility within the law to still have the protections that I believe that, you know, Uber should provide to its drivers and to other people who are injured. I think there's ways that, I mean, many other companies do it within the law. And I just think Uber wanted to save money. But I totally understand what you're saying. I have many clients who work for Uber and they love the flexibility. So it's not a simple issue. It's definitely not black and white. There's a lot of gray area.
Yeah, well, I take a lot of Ubers, and as a client, like I find, I speak to a lot of drivers and I get a lot of their perspectives, and they love it because it gives them the flexibility. It's like extra income. They feel like they're their own boss. But at the same time, they were saying that, you know, sometimes at the end of the week, in terms of monetary, it wasn't monetarily worth it. And now to put on this kind of responsibility on them where they're liable personally, you know, it could put like some families like literally, you know, the whole idea of doing Uber was to increase your income. And if something like this, I mean, that's a big liability to be responsible for somebody else's life in an accident or anything that happens within their car. So that's interesting. Is that just in California or?
Yeah, ask that. Is it in California or is it?
Yeah, just- so it was a California, sorry. It was just a California law that was passed. In California, we have propositions, which mean the law goes directly to the voters as opposed to the legislature in California deciding. So this was one of those where Uber put it on the ballot so that all the voters in California can decide this one issue. And they've spent $200 million in advertising to advertise to the voters of California. And it passed because the other side couldn't match the funds to advertise.
Yes, absolutely. I want to go ahead. I'll come back to you, Daniel. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Pazit Perez. She's a LOA leading expert and the founder of the I Have a Dream Academy. She was featured by Star Central Magazine as one of the world's most prominent game changers and entrepreneurs. She is the creator of the award-winning Vision Portraits, published author, and coach on demand, specializing in teaching individuals to powerfully accelerate the law of attraction to start creating love, wealth, and success in their life immediately. Good morning, Pazit. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. Thanks for having me. I'm great.
You are so welcome. I love that word immediately in your bio. It's like people, I want it right now. I tell people like I'm born in the 70s, right? So I'm an 80s baby. I'm a microwave baby. I'm an internet. I want it in 30 seconds or less. So it's like, how do we change our lives immediately?
Well, you've got to start making immediate changes to the way that you think. That's really how it starts. It's as simple as that.
How do you do that though? I mean, it's so funny because you meet professional, successful people and they give you these, you know, 2-minute sound bites and they're like, it's so easy. It's so simple. I'm looking at your life behind you and I'm like, I want to be her. I want to be there. I want to be, you know, and it's like, okay, what are those immediate changes that I can do to get there?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's thinking that life is easy. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people are trained to think that life is hard. You got to work hard. You know, if you want something, you know, if you want something big, you got to like hustle. You got to like, you know, it's always like this hardness to it, you know, mm-hmm. When you're creating, you're not thinking of hardness. The first shift you would do is you would say, life is so easy. Money comes to me easily. And at first your mind is going to reject those ideas because it goes contrary to everything, you know, you've been told growing up, you know. I mean, I don't know what kind of families you came in from, but my parents immigrated to Canada, you know, after like wartime. So their mindset was you got to work hard, you got to save, you know, they had like 2-3 jobs trying to make ends meet, you know. And so life was very hard, you know, life was very hard. So I grew up with this kind of mindset that life has, you know, it's very hard. So the first shift I had to really understand is that life is easy. Everything comes in with flow, and it's really changing the language that you speak to yourself and seeing how your environment starts shaping itself when you start having new, new beliefs, I would say, new beliefs. So it's as simple as saying, you know, money comes easily and effortlessly to me. And at first, your mind's going to be a little bit like a tennis game. It's going to be like, no, it's not. No, it doesn't come easy. And so you got to fight the tennis match. You got to keep, you know, you got to keep like the throwing back the rackets and punching and saying, no, life is easy for me. And as of now, life is easy for me. Money comes easily to me. And then you start attracting like opportunities. You also start carrying yourself. When you start saying that, you start noticing that your personality starts changing as well. People kind of look at you and say, oh my God, you have it so easy. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not that we don't take action. We take as much action, but we take inspired action. I always get ideas, and I am and have always been interested by the instant model. That's why when I started out as a photographer, just because when I went into film, a little bit like we were talking before, it was a lot of work, you know. You had to get a lot of people on set. I had to, you know, arrange everybody's schedule, and then there was editing for days, and I was like, no, I need something more instant, you know. Mm-hmm. And so photography was you know, part of my biggest career. And then the coaching on demand, which I do as well, it's very instant. You don't need an appointment. I was thinking, you know, when I have a question, I mean, I don't want to wait till next week to reach out to somebody. I want an answer now so I can get my life going as fast as possible in this moment, you know? So that's where the coaching on demand came. I was asking a question like, how can I help more people? How can I reach out more people? How can I be more instant? And then this idea.
That's my question. That's my question. You took my question from me. How can I reach more people? How can I reach more people instantly? I got to get the roundtable talk show out there.
Well, you keep asking that question, and something will come. By asking that question, something will come into your, you know, an idea will pop into your mind. Now, when the idea pops into your mind, you have to run with the idea. You can't just be like, no. You know, so when I asked myself this question, I wrote it on a piece of paper. How can I reach out to more people? How can I be more accessible? Because I have like an elite course, and you know, it's a couple $1,000s. But I was saying, I was hearing out a lot of people that was saying that, oh, you know, right now I don't have a couple $1,000s, and I still wish I can get you to help me. And so one night I was thinking, how can I? I was asking that question over and over. And the idea of the hotline, like the psychic hotline, popped on my screen. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, like those 1-800 numbers where you could just call and reach out. And it's just like, you know, it's like $2.99 a minute. Everybody can afford, you know, like 10, 15, 20 bucks. Like it's easy, you know? And right there and then it was amazing. So the next day I was like, okay, I love the idea. I felt inspired by it. I knew that it answered all my demands, which was I wanted something that was instant, something that was easy to set up. And right away I started looking for how do you get a 1-800 number, you know? And then I reached out to this company, which was called Paper Call. And as soon as I reach out to the guy, he starts talking to me about the law of attraction and how we attract one another. And right away, there was many companies, you know, that would do it. But as soon as he talked about that right away, I knew he was the one.
And I don't want to cut you off, but that's what I tend to do here at the Roundtable Talk Show, because I know we're going to go a lot further, which I want to do as part of the show. But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. James Hammett. James, with his utterly impressive 25 plus years career, is a beauty maven guru who is obsessed with achieving absolute perfection. James oversaw several major launches as head of creative services, producing and casting at Clairol, Natural Instincts, Nice and Easy, L'Oreal Brands, Matrix, and so many more. Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm fantastic today, actually. I've been super excited to see you. I've been waiting. It's been like almost 70 days. So I think, and then I was like, gosh, I have to wait that long to be with her. I told Lynn, I'm like, no, that's not right. How do I get on earlier? I guess I can't. So let's just play it out. But yeah, yesterday I looked.
I like that. People tell me that, and then they get mad at me. They're like, they go to the website and then they come back and they're like, well, you're booked until December. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you want me to do. You want me to kick Daniel off so you can have a seat? Like, I don't know what you want from me.
Just to add six more little squares on the screen, that's all. So we can add so we can come on here and there. That could be an idea right there, right?
Yes, thank you.
Build it out bigger. Or bring in someone just for a few minutes, you know, to plug into a discussion that has to do with something crazy. I don't know. Anyway, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
It really is. Yeah. So, yeah.
Tell us about you, James. We want to hear about you. We already heard some great ideas.
It's hi, everybody. It's really good to be here, honestly, sincerely. It's a cloudy day here in New York, but, and you know, in all of this, especially in Manhattan, on an island, Massimi launched in New York in February during Fashion Week. And then we immediately afterwards were in the process of signing contracts to go into a major distribution network online for beauty and cosmetics. And also we were gonna launch in 3 months in a group of salons called Spoken Wheel, which is, it's very high end, color, incredible dry cut. And they have 10 salons around the country. And it's a team that came from Aveda originally, and they joined together. And they just like this like-minded, similar thinking, clean beauty, modern, new, but also using botanicals that really actually mean something and come from the ocean. And we're telling a story, and the story just happened to be the story that I've lived my whole life. So it really stems from me being an explorer, a discoverer, someone who cares too much. And I think you can care too much because it takes away yourself being something.
You answered the question before I even asked it. That was what I was going to ask. Like, how do you care too much?
Yeah, because you tend to create this wall between you and your own self worth, I guess, and then you give too much, you share with everybody else because you want other people to for me it was for people to be happy and for people to be to whatever it was, I wanted it to be positive for them. And it took a lot of energy out of me, but that was my career. That was my life that I chose. I mean, I was raised American born, raised in Rome, London, schooled myself in Spain. I have lived in many countries. I have traveled the world as a youth. I speak several languages. I'm learning Japanese now. My husband's Japanese he's Masahiro. His name is part of Masami, which means truly beautiful. And I ended up in London at a very young age. I left one of the top schools in the world to go to Harvey Nichols to work in PR. And then after 2 years working with the press and the designers and doing runway shows and casting and seeing meeting people like Margaret Thatcher and Princess Di, launching Calvin Klein's collection there, going through, you know, seeing terrorism firsthand, living experiences people don't live, and also just the ability to travel because of my family. And then I came to New York to work for Clairol because I wanted to leave Europe and I wanted to come back to my country, and I wanted to live in New York. And I knew that I could build here, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted, but I had the right avenues. So I talked to a friend through a friend, and I got set up as an assistant casting person in the creative group for Clairol Worldwide when they were blowing up the company to launch worldwide and to revamp every single hair color line from Miss Clairol to Nice and Easy to Old Tress, you know, to all of them, Loving Care, Lasting Color, and then the professional side. And I grew within that very fast because we built out the company in 8 years for and it was $500 million at the time, and I creatively worked on casting all the celebrities and models and real people for the professional and consumer brands, packaging and all the advertising. And I worked with all the creative directors in-house and our bosses, as well as marketing. And then global, I worked directly with the different markets in global in order to understand what are they lacking? What do they need? So when we're gonna revamp Nice and Easy, this was the platform I was using to where I am today. I sat with marketing and I said to them, where are your Black women? Where are your Latinas? Where are your Asians? Nobody's on here.
Let's talk about that, James. I want to talk about that because
so it was a lot, and I was dealing with executives. But I've always been someone who pushed the buttons and also who knew how to bring about change in a very positive way for brands. And I also did this with Adidas in 94, and I did the same with actually Playboy, but their clothing collection with a young designer here in New York, and that led me to where I am today. In beauty,
the round table talk show.
Yeah, hydration. It was all about hydration in the hair, man. And I believe that hydration is the number one issue in everybody's hair. It doesn't matter if you color. It doesn't matter if you have normal hair. If you do not have hydration, you will never be able to have manageable, beautiful hair. It's a fact. And I wanted a simple, clean brand after seeing everybody be very successful across the board for 20 years. I wanted to create something, and I spent 10 years doing it after working in it for so many years and watching hairstylists, you name them, makeup artists, all of them, and watching what they've been doing and with the R&D and marketing people. And I ended up coming up with formulas, working a day job, a night job, working on a brand. And then I met Lynn's husband and they funded Masami 2 years ago. And we spent
Let's talk about that. You are great. I love your energy. I almost want to go, do you speak sign language? Because you have into everything. And I saw it. And I'm like, I'm following your hands. I could mute this and still follow this conversation. I think that's wonderful. But I'm going to come back to you, James, because this is going to be an interesting conversation. I want to introduce our next guest, Ms. Vindi Teja. Vindi is a professional life and divorce coach, TEDx speaker with This Prenup, I Be Wed, and author of YOLO, Essential Life Hacks for Happiness, and co-author of Passed Down from Mom, a collection of inspiring stories about moms and motherhood. Good morning, Vindi. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. And it's a pleasure to be on such an energetic panel. It's very lively. And it's funny, I was thinking, as you did the introductions, you're flanked by personal injury in the beginning, and then the topic of divorce on the end. And then in between, we've got, like, you know, law of attraction and hydrated hair and great products. And it's a very interesting panel. So as you mentioned, I'm a professional life and divorce coach. So I help people who are contemplating separation and divorce, or they're going through it, or they're getting to the end of it, and they're creating a new life for themselves. So my background is also in law. And so after law school and after being called to the bar, I happily found the world of coaching before it was even called that. So I did career coaching with law students and lawyers. But this experience, along with my transformational experience of parenting in the divorce process, that's what made me passionate about becoming a life and divorce coach and helping people manage divorce stress, save money, and make the best possible decisions for themselves and their kids. And it's also what led me to do the TED Talk, and I wanted to shift people's perspective around prenup agreements. And that also led me to use my platform to author a book, which was really exciting. And it's about deconstructing happiness. And it's about highlighting the tools I use to find my way back to happiness after divorce.
Okay. I like the whole "with this prenup, I be wed." Is that a difficult conversation to have?
Absolutely. I think, and that's part of the reason I did it. It's because even though we've come a long way, it's still a taboo subject. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do I bring this up? And, you know, I kind of comically deal with it in the prenup because it's like, you know, what do? Take out a bottle of wine and say, honey, look at this prenup agreement that my lawyer drew up. You want to have a look at it? You know, how do you do it? And so part of the intention of the talk was to, you know, how do I soften this and show people that this is actually a really a important conversation to have? And if you can't talk about things like money, you know, when you're before you're married, how are you going to be able to talk about those difficult issues after you're married? And you sure don't want to be doing that during the divorce process when you're not feeling, you know, you're not feeling kind towards your partner. So
usually when we have, or I've seen, especially on television, because I watch way too much television, but it's usually that conversation in that kind of Anna Nicole scenario where she marries the guy and he has $50 billion and she doesn't have a cent to her name. And then they want to have this conversation. But for the everyday Joe, Jane, who just wants to get married, is there a necessity for that conversation?
Yeah, that's a really good question that you asked, Sharifa, because I think that's the stereotype we all have, is that you have to have a lot of money, or one party has to have a lot of money, and they're trying to protect those assets from the other person. So we almost think of it as a weapon as opposed to a planning tool. But, you know, in this day and age, you know, a lot of people are waiting to get married. So they've already accumulated assets that they might want to protect. They might be on their second marriage, so they have children that they want to protect from their previous marriage. You know, you could be grandpa and you have, you know, something that you want to pass down. So you want to make sure that that's that asset's protected. So there's a lot of reasons that people don't immediately think of that would be good reasons for having this discussion, but also just to talk about money and how a couple is going to organize their finances during the marriage. Like, that's an important conversation, and a prenup is a great way to actually start that conversation. So, honey, how are we going to organize our finances during the marriage? Because you might have different views, and some of that will come out during the discussion so you can plan better and hopefully avoid a lot of expensive problems later on.
Mm-hmm. You were born with that coach voice. You got that natural coach voice. You know what I mean? Like, this is a divorce process. Everybody's mad. Everybody's yelling. Vindy's like, well, let's discuss it. Let's think about what's going on and what we're going through. Like, it works, though. You got that calm. Is it just me, positive? I know you heard it, too, in her voice.
Yeah, totally. Totally calm. I love her. You know, I love what she's saying. And also, I find, like, today, in today's day and age, it's true that a lot of people, like, you know, we have assets at a younger age, you know, so it's definitely a conversation you want to have, and you want to make sure that you're on the same page, because one of the biggest reasons for separation and divorce is money. So you want to have that money conversation, not be shy about it, be open about it, you know, from the get-go. And the more you can be aligned with your partner, I think it can only create more harmony in your relationship. So have that conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great.
I had a guest who was a lawyer on one of the previous shows, and one of the things that she kept saying repeatedly is that to talk to a lawyer before, or to bring a lawyer onto your team before things go wrong. And it's usually when something happens, then we freak out and we're like, oh my God, I need my lawyer to protect me, especially in business, maybe in life, we don't have anyone on board. Have you found that to be true, Daniel, that people, you know, life happens and now all of a sudden they're calling you?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's literally what I do. I mean, I only represent people in families, or for, you know, women or men who've been harassed at work, wrongfully terminated, and they have to come to me in the worst circumstances. Like, I'll have to meet them at the hospital, for example, go to a funeral. I mean, really, really awful stuff where no one should ever want to have to hire me. But yeah, I mean, so you can't prepare for those things. But I think when you're choosing a lawyer, you want to find someone who will actually go to trial, who's willing to take on the biggest and most well-funded, you know, corporations, defendants, governmental entities, whoever it is, so that, you know, you're fully protected.
Mm-hmm. And you say harassment. I've been in certain or several situations where I considered it harassment as an employee, but I would look at it as a lawyer most likely wouldn't take that case because it wasn't extreme enough. Or I would think, okay, well, you know what? I don't have the resources to be able to hire a lawyer in order to even fight this situation. So I'll just leave it alone and let it go. Especially, and I don't know, that's why we're having this conversation, what types of cases you handle. But I think especially in like sexual harassment cases while you're at work, sometimes people just chalk it up to the old boys club or the culture. Or this is the way things are.
Yeah, well, thankfully that's going away. You know, with the whole Yeah, thankfully. I mean, I say it's about time, right? Way overdue.
Yes.
Thankfully, with the Me Too movement, that first off, women are less scared to come forward, which for decades, centuries, you know, they would always be too scared because they'd be thrown out of the industry if they come forward and report anything to their bosses or their colleagues. And, you know, that's a huge fear, which is understandable. But now we're finding that a lot of women are thankfully coming forward and they're exposing the really bad stuff that a lot of the unfortunate men in higher in superior positions are doing to them. And the thing about it in my profession is that you don't have to pay by the hour at all. It's all on contingency. So they'll come to us, they'll meet with us, we'll go over their case, go over all the documentation, spend a lot of time with them to really understand what their story is, because you can't look at every single situation as just a number or a payday as a lawyer. You got to look at, this is a human being's story. Every story is different. And it's my job to be the mouthpiece for that person that has suffered usually the worst thing they've ever suffered in their entire life. And so I need to really get deep down and understand what they went through so that I can then go after the person who did this to them and ultimately tell it to a jury, because this poor person is suffering, like I said, the worst thing in their life. I have to be their voice to a jury, to convince a jury that first off, the person, the boss that did this to them is wrong. The company's at fault. They should have to pay for this. And then to talk about the human losses that the person has suffered. And it is, I mean, losing a job and being harassed is one of the worst things anyone can go through. They're vulnerable, you know, they feel like they can't trust anyone again. They can't get a job again. And, you know, that's why I love doing what I do, fighting for the little guy against these big companies and putting these horrible men that do these to women, do these things to women, you know, make sure they never do this to anyone else again, and hopefully never have a job where they are overseeing anyone else again. You know, I love that about my job.
Yes, I love that too. When you get to fight for the little guy and the underdog. And that's why I felt the passion when James was talking. James just wanted to get out this story, but it was based on his passion and helping people and the hydration. That's probably what I need for my hair. I probably need more hydration. How can you tell when you need more hydration, James?
Your hair looks great, by the way. I mean, it doesn't look like it needs hydration. I mean, you'd probably have natural shine. So, no, it's, I mean, it's, look, I'm all about detail. And, I've always had an eye for detail since I was a kid. So when you look at hair, when I've worked with so much hair, and you've seen and you've worked with so many artists as a producer, and you're in salons all the time for years, you get to know a lot about texture, get to know a lot about color, get to know a lot about highlighting, about relaxing, about perming, and about all of the hairstyle and all the tools one uses to make your hair look beautiful. But it's taking that follicle and flattening it and destroying the inner cells and the polymers, and it's fatal for your hair. But we in the 90s, 70s, 80s, I didn't live in this country back then, but I knew, because I was here every summer and every winter, I knew what products we were using, I knew what we were doing, and things in Europe were much more healthy and clean. That's just the way that the standards are in the EU and always have been, actually. I came back here and the biggest issues were in shampoos and conditioners that were full of sulfates. What sulfates are, the things that are inside of those soap suds, those suds that you seem to like so much, America, that are actually damaging and that dry out your scalp and dry out your cuticle. And then you go in color. I mean, so many women and men, they color their hair. They highlight their hair. They're out in the sun. They're out in the ocean. They come back in. They're using sulfate and parabens. Parabens are those little things that work within a product to make it more malleable. And it is a horrible situation because it causes cancer and it's really bad for you. And also the phthalates as well are extremely bad for you. Not just for your scalp, but everything else. So it took a long time in a process of me observing the entire industry from the professional side and the consumer side to see what brands were working and what wasn't working. And when I saw brands start to shift to sulfate-free and paraben-free, they were very liquidy. And also when you applied them, you would lose a lot. But a lot of the brands that we worked with for styling and for coloring, for styling specifically, were, you'd get a temporary look, you get a temporary shine, you get a temporary this, you get a temporary, or you'd see consumer brands that was fine hair, thick hair, coarse hair, volumized hair, all of these different marketing techniques. Why can't we have just an ocean botanical that comes from Northeast Japan that I found through my husband. And I waited for years to come up with this beautiful botanical beneath the wakame leaf that grows in northern Japan in the bays for over 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years. And to say this, you guys should know this, that seaweed, the leaves of seaweeds, are the same cellular structure, similar cellular structure as our skin and our head scalp. So Asians and Japanese specifically have been using it for years to hydrate their body and their hair. So we came up with this, and it's really about products that perform and that work well on every hair type, as well as the issues that one has. It manages those issues, and you see manageability shift and change. So hydration is our number one issue.
Let's talk about that, James. Let's talk about that, because I want to go over to Bazit. I'm looking at your hair, and I'm seeing.
So with James, you know what? I think also there's a lack of education in terms of, you know, what the products are. Like I never knew what paraben and all this, you know, until I met, you know, my client, which was a holistic hairdresser. And as I'm helping her, my hair is getting better because she's, you know, she's giving me like advice and stuff and, you know, and all these things. But I honestly did not know like sulfate free. I was like, it meant nothing to me. You know what I mean? Somebody who's in the industry understands. But a consumer, we're not educated unless we go looking for it. And I have changed my whole, you know, like that day I met with her, I took all my shampoos, conditioners, whatever that I thought were really good, because they were like, you know, I was using quality products, but those quality products had all those things. So it was so misleading. And so I got rid of everything. And now, you know, just like when you buy food and you check the label. Right. I buy my shampoos and I check the labels. Like I make sure that they're sulfate free, that they're paraben free, vegan. Like my standards have changed. And when I saw James' line, there's two things I really loved about your line, James. First of all, branding. I love branding. Your branding is like on point.
Thank you.
I love that you have a travel pack, because I travel back and forth, you know, between Miami and Montreal, and I love the travel pack. I was like, this is so brilliant, this guy. He is so into what's happening in the world now. A lot of people don't just live in one place anymore. A lot of people, So I love that. And also, you have the full sizes as well for somebody who's more, you know, a local who wants bigger quantities. So I love that you have both, both opportunities available. They match my life. I fell in love. I'm like, I'm putting an order through. I went one high one to check out.
I gotta go put my order through as well. But what's interesting?
Hydration, especially when you bleach your hair. Oh my gosh.
No, I don't bleach, but I you know, a lot of lights and camera action on my hair. So I definitely need to have a lot of hydration. But I wanted to ask Vindi a question, because we're talking about hair, and I don't, like I said, the conversation, people who tune in know it goes all over the place based on, you know, my attention, and my attention usually is very short. But Vindi, one of the things that I've shared on the show is a conversation about women and hair. Kind of ironically, that's kind of what we're talking about. But especially, I had a friend of mine who was in basically a 10-year marriage for years, from almost literally the beginning. She would be like, I can't be with this man. I can't deal with him. I want to leave him. And she kept saying that. And so we kind of just knew it was their thing. 10 years later, she comes in and she was like, I'm done with him. I'm divorced. And she had long, pretty hair, and she had cut her hair into this little style. And we were like, she cut her hair. That's the sign. She's really done. But like women tend, and that's why I'm asking you, Vindi, like in this divorce process, women tend to do like a physical change that has, like they'll bleach their hair. They were, you know, a brunette. Now all of a sudden, or maybe I'm just imagining that.
No, I don't think you're imagining that at all. Because now I'm thinking back to mine. And yes, I actually had a major hair do-over. Like I wore my hair very curly. It was naturally very curly and shorter. And I completely changed it. And I think a lot of it has to do with identity and starting a new life and turning a new leaf. And there's something about women and hair, or what your style is, that it's very empowering. To be, or it signals a shift of, okay, now I'm committed to this new person, or this new person I'm becoming. And hair for women is just, you know, it's very demonstrative. Like our identity our hair is part of our identity. So I think it is significant. But I was also had this idea for you, Sharifa. We should do a before and after with this show. And then we all go away and use James products. And then we come back in like a month and then we can see the before and after in our hair. You know, we'll all be sporting.
Can Daniel come too?
Yeah. Hey,
yeah, yeah. I want Daniel.
He has hair, so he has to come.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay, so is there going to be a difference in a month, James?
Less. You'll see. Go to, I mean, the reviews speak for themselves about the brand on the website. So, yes, you see the performance of the products because is there. It's the reviews from the women and men. Look, the brand is 60% women and 40% men. So a lot of the men come from other brands that they've been with for years, and they just... or we don't know where they're coming from. And we can't figure it out even with our own digital analytics because we have superb digital team. And we're D2C, as you guys probably know, but we're also Lux Salon and brick and mortar. So there you have it. Do you,
I really love, go ahead.
Look at this. Can you see this?
I can see it. I don't know what it is, but I can see it.
So this is a piece of Mekabu. It's planted in October by the fishermen in the bays in Northeast Japan. And then it's taken out in May and June of the following season. And it goes to our 80-year-old seaweed manufacturer, family-run 80-year-old manufacturer that washes it, dries it like this, dehumidifies it, and powders it down. So manageability, you'll see all of you, you'll see your hair change manageability wise and shine and softness because of Mekabu within the first few washes. Now, you don't need to wash your hair every day. You should not be. Twice a week is plenty. And if you have oily hair, that is because you're using a product that you've been using too long. Even for you, Daniel. And I have a clean styling cream, Daniel, that your wife will adore because your hair will be silky, manageable, and glossy and shiny with a really soothing scalp. But the fragrance is naturally derived because most fragrances, when it says that on a package, have bad things in them. So
your
wife with the fragrance would just be in more love.
And that way we can avoid Vendi, right?
You got the whole team here.
We avoid giving with that.
With the good.
And then once we give it to Vindy, her boyfriends or friends are all going to. She's going to have more men around her than she wants to deal with. I already have.
Vindy, I believe in yourself. A little post-it that you have behind you,
That's very impressive.
But yeah, listen. I see everything. I see everything.
He sees everything.
I was going to say, it's so true that when, when a couple separates, and, you know, I also lived it firsthand. I mean, the first thing you do is you rebrand yourself, you know, not just your hair, everything, you know, and I see it a lot also in my clients that are, you know, separating or going through a separation. All of a sudden, they're going to the gym, getting these haircuts, they're getting this new, you know,
it's like outfits,
because they know they're going back on the market. You know, so they know how to present their best selves again, right? And sometimes I find that when you're with somebody for a very long time, you can kind of get very comfortable, right? Human nature. So it's always kind of like always seeing yourself going on that, being like that first time, that first date, always showing up. I always say that, always showing up as your best self, even if it's to somebody you've been with for a very long time. When you're dating, you're always on the top of your game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You gotta keep that. You gotta absolutely keep that, you know. But true that when there's a situation in life that kicks your ass and, you know, kicks you back into, you know what, I'm gonna get healthy, I'm gonna eat healthy again, I'm gonna take care of myself, brings you back to self-care, self-love, which is interesting.
Yes. Daniel, do you see that in any of your clients, the transition, you know, because they were harassed, they were bullied at work, somebody tried to get over on them, and they became they weren't a victim. They took control of their life. They hired you. Do you ever see that transition in their persona or their brand?
I mean, especially with the people that are injured, I think one of the biggest things I try to find with someone who goes through a serious injury, it's kind of plateaued. They're going to deal with back pain or leg or something the rest of their life, and they just have to accept it. I love to find the story of the fight in them, you know, that, look, this is who I am, but I'm not going to let this define me. So I am going to fight like hell. I'm going to get the treatment I need, and I'm going to be, you know, the best of this version I can be. And a lot of times they have more confidence than they did before because they've accepted what their fate is. And then they've realized that I can be great just with this body that someone else did something horrible to me. And I love finding those stories to tell a jury. Like when I put a client on the stand, I never want to put up a sob story or have them talk about how bad everything is for them. I want them to talk about their story of redemption and how they're not going to let what this person did to them define them the rest of their life, that they're going to fight through this, because people love rooting for a winner, right? Someone who's fighting for themselves, not just a woe is me person. And I think, you know, so I think with those clients, I find it the most where they've reinvented themselves, and it's awesome to see. It really is, because it's so rewarding. And, you know, as their attorney, I try to form that like familial relationship where I have lifelong friendships with my clients. So I think that's super important as an attorney to form that bond. And when I see that redemption quality, I absolutely love it. It makes me really happy.
I love that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I love that whole empowering side. And part of the law of attraction is a lot of people in life, they look for lessons, you know, like what's the lesson in this and what can I learn from this? And we say never look for the lesson, because lessons brings more lessons. We look for the gift. And just like he was saying, it basically uses the gifts to empower. What came out of this? Oh, well, I learned about forgiveness. I learned about self-love. I learned about putting myself first. I learned about believing in myself. I learned that if I need help, I can go hire any one of these people on this panel and, you know, get the help that I need, you know? So we're always looking for the gift and the good in everything that happens. And I love his approach, how he empowers people. Daniel, I really love that.
Yes.
Not making them the victim, especially like I would say in a court situation where you always feel, I love this. A long time ago, I heard there's no justice in the court system because there's a winner and a loser. For real justice to be prevailed, there has to be two winners. Mm-hmm.
I like that. James, you were going to say something?
No, I was going to ask Daniel. I mean, it sounds like that is the inspiration and that is the drive of your energy that allows you to be successful in what you do professionally. But these relationships and how you help people is what, at the end of the day, is the most fulfilling part of all of this. I wouldn't say it's about, for me anyway, it's not about the money, but I think that there's a thread amongst all of us about what really inspires our energy and drives us to be able to translate that into what we do best.
And I couldn't agree more. I mean, time you guys are so inspirational, but we haven't talked about money once, but it, let alone, you know, we're all we're successful in what we do. It's a win-win. You know, I think it really can be a win-win.
Can I ask you something? During this time from February till now, I mean, even before that, I mean, I knew that what COVID was doing way before that. I mean, I think all of us did actually, right? In Europe and in China, what it was already doing. But I mean, in all of this, like the impact of COVID has had a good impact, positive impact on Lynn Power, my business partner, and myself as individuals. In just bringing out more of the good of what we can do for, what can women and men do at home for to take care of their hair that is more natural? How can we share tips with them about, go to your closet one day and look at the ingredients on the, you know, in your cabinet, look at the ingredients on the back of your face cream. Take it from there. Do you know what I'm saying? That boils back to what we're all talking about right now and what inspires us to be who we are. And I'm sure all of us have traveled roads that have had their ups and their downs, but the key I think is learnings, but also in the time, sometimes it takes more than one time for you to learn about something, but also you've got to be aware and be self-aware, but also in your intuition. This goes back to what we've all been saying. It's your intuition. You must become in touch with your intuition and ask questions. I ask a lot of questions, and I also want shit done immediately.
I think we're a lot alike, James. I ask a lot of questions.
Back to you. People don't get frustrated. People don't react or act in the time that we necessarily want them to. Some do, but others don't. But then something comes when you keep asking for it.
Yes, yes. And it can come immediately and it can come easily is what we learned on today's show. I wanted to follow up though with a question for Daniel and what you were saying about creating their story. I've read or I've been told that as a lawyer, what you or as an attorney, what you want to do is humanize them so that they're not just a case or just a report for the jury or even for the judge. So is that an aspect of what you do for your clients?
That is like most of what I do. I went to a trial lawyers college in Wyoming where we spend 3 weeks without any cell phone. Jerry Spence's trial lawyers college, and they teach you there how you have to develop the client's story. And for me, that means going to their house, seeing how they live, maybe even spending the night at their house. As weird as that sounds, I have to be able to understand what their human story, what is their day-to-day life when they have to brush their teeth and it hurts just to do that, when it takes 20 minutes longer just to get dressed, because I like it's, you have to see that story, because if I just read it in a memo or in a deposition, I will not get that human connection. And so I spend, I mean, countless hours, you know, 100 hours with a client preparing to go to trial in their environment. I invite them to my house. We go to dinner, we go to lunch together, because I have to understand what it is like to live in their shoes, you know, in their eyes, because that's the way I can really connect with the jury and connect with the judge. And really, like I said, I can't stress enough, to be their mouthpiece, to be their voice for the jury. So I couldn't agree more. I think any attorney who's representing a client should know the human story behind any struggle.
Yes, absolutely. Question for you, Fawzit. One of the things that we talked about earlier with the law of attraction, you made the statement or the comment, I don't know how you were raised. And I think that's a reference to a lot, you know, because I believe all of us are around the same age, but we had that whole money doesn't grow on trees, you know, a different philosophy as far as money. So it seems that's what you grew up with. How did you make the transition into a more law of attraction type of belief system?
Well, it started because I've reached success, which is really funny in my family. I reached success 3 times, very high success, and I lost it 3 times. And at the third time, I asked myself, why do I keep reaching it and why do I keep losing it? And at that time, I was doing a lot of photography work. And what I realized is a magazine had asked me for like a picture of myself. And in that time, I literally left a relationship. I was like, I left a serious relationship, which I left my business for a year. So my business was was like a year not into it, right? So financially, it wasn't, you know, was not where it was. My relationship fell. And I'm taking a picture of myself and I'm at the lowest point of my life again. And I'm like, why am I here again? And I take a picture of myself and I realize that when I see the picture of myself, I see like this woman who's not broken. And in that instant, I was like, I saw myself as somebody who's very successful. And I'm saying to myself, how can I see myself as somebody who's successful when really, when I look at my reality, it's like the complete opposite, right? And I realized that I had like self-worth issues and it came through my relationships. And obviously I learned the lesson or the gift 3 times, you know? And when I did this, my aunt also was visiting from our country and she was saying, she said something that really like struck me. And she goes, oh, it's too bad that we were born from the poor side of the family, because their family had a lot of money, but back then they were in war. And in wartime, they had to leave, you know, they had to leave all their belongings behind and start like from scratch. And because they started from scratch, they were not ever able to make, you know, their financial back. And so they always considered themselves as poor. And I said, that's so funny. I don't see myself as poor. And I don't see myself as somebody who's not worthy. And when I saw that portrait of myself as like a different version of me, I understood that the images that we have in our minds, the way that we perceive ourselves on the inside becomes the reflection of what we see on the outside. And I started getting all these downloads and actually even got a book that came through me, which is called, the Little Golden Secrets to Get Anything You Have and Want. And basically what I understood is that if we can perceive ourselves as somebody who's unworthy, if that's the picture that we have in our mind, doesn't matter how you look to the world you might look like all well put, all successful, but if deep inside of you, you have a picture of yourself as somebody who's unworthy, as somebody who has to work hard for the money,
that's what you will manifest.
That snapshot becomes the picture, the out picture of your reality.
Absolutely, absolutely. We are coming down to the last 5 minutes of the show. We only have a few minutes left of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And again, a few minutes left of the show. We're going to start with you, James.
Oh, hi. This was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I feel like we need to go onwards for a cocktail, but we'll do virtual cocktails another day. So yes. To everybody out there, Masami, which means truly beautiful, is a premium luxurious brand. It's all about no sulfates, no parabens, and no phthalates. I'm a guy that spent years in the beauty world and was behind the scenes working with the models and celebrities. Biggest issue, you guys, is your problem with hydration. The world has an issue with hydration internally and for your hair. So I highly recommend take the time, especially during this time when we're all changing and growing, to actually go and look at what you're using and try Masami. The hydration and the moisture and the shine that you'll receive from it and the performance is quite awesome. You can go to lovemasami.com or even follow us at Love Masami Hair. It's our Instagram. We're on LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter, and Facebook, and everything else that there is out there. So, well, not everything. No, I take that.
Not everything. We don't know.
It's about hydration for your hair. And literally, the story is really important because it's the truth. And, yes. And my husband actually is Japanese, and he's the influence, and he's the inspiration. And he's my
love it, James. We thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Yes, we appreciate you. Vindi, what do you have for us?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. And what I would encourage people to do is to check out my website. There's lots there as well. So I won't review everything here. It's vinditeja.com. And, you know, whether you're going through a divorce or you're thinking about a divorce or you're just having to deal with challenges in your life, and we all have those pesky self-doubts and challenges that we have to deal with, I encourage you to check out my book because it's all about happiness and about the approach to happiness. And I don't feel like you have to be smiling and overflowing with glee 24/7 to be happy. Happiness is not about avoiding problems or challenges or setbacks. It's about knowing how to approach these situations and being intentional about your life and what it has to offer. So that's what I'd like to share.
Thank you, Vindi. Daniel, what do you have for us?
Yeah, thank you for having me. So I started Kramer Trial Lawyers to represent the people or individuals who are seriously injured or they lose a loved one in an auto accident, slip and fall, car crash, whatever. And we also represent people who are fired either for a disability, their race, sexual orientation, or sexual harassment. But we go all the way. So we are trial lawyers. We fight against the biggest and the best, most well-funded defendants. We never back down. We've had huge verdicts against huge international companies. You know, we're Los Angeles based. If anyone, hopefully you don't, but if you ever do or you know someone that does, you can reach out to us. My website's kramerlaw.com and all of our info and all of our results are on there. So I appreciate it. Hopefully you guys never need me, but we are here. We fight the good fight.
Thank you, Daniel. Fazit, what do you have for us?
I'd say it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. You can always achieve financial wealth, success, and love in your life. Go to www.ihaveadreamacademy.com to make your dreams come true. And on the website, you will find many tips and tools and tricks and blogs and articles that can help you be a magnet to a successful financial future. So start today.
Yes, start today. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I definitely want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you are not important. You are still important. We still need your support. Please go ahead and share the show, but please don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Visit their website. Check out their products. And Daniel said he hopes you, he doesn't need you, but we thank him for being there if you do. So visit our guests. And if you want more information on how I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit our website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.